Warning: Spinning on Two Wheels contains language, themes, and references that are inappropriate for the ears of children, sensitive grandparents, and public forums. Headphone use is recommended.
Hey y'all! I'm Peggy, the kick-ass knitter. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm yarned, a little dangerous, and definitely bad to the bone. Grab your knitting and throw open the throttle. It's time to kickstart this episode of Spinning on Two Wheels. Hey, y'all! Welcome, welcome, welcome. Any new listeners out there? Welcome, welcome back! All my lovely returning listeners. This is episode 61, and I promise it won't have as foreboding a title as episode 60 did. Sorry, not sorry. Anywho, today's episode is being recorded on Monday, March 25th. I had to count for my younger sister's birthday last week. 25th. 2024. And will include a life on the road update, open throttle, stalled, or two, or three, or four, and a brief trip through the scenic route, where hopefully my Japanese enunciation will not be atrocious. So punch into gear and let's roll on. Everyone knows that life can make for a bumpy ride. When it gets tough or impacts the show, I want to let you know. So, whether it's a detour, rest stop, or unplanned off-roading, let's have a little chat about life on the road. To be fair, it's not life that's getting in the way of the show in this segment. Well, first of all, I would like to take this opportunity to share that Labra Dad and Sweetheart have found a more permanent housing situation for both of them. So they have left us. You will no longer see Sweetheart in any Instagram updates or hear her jingling collar in the background. Mr. Kickass and I wish them both well. And wasn't sure where else to put this in any segment, so it's going here, because it's not life getting in the way of the show at all. I just wanted to remind everyone of the upcoming big celebration of Rainbow Pride and Joy. That's right, I'm talking about the hashtag PridePodMal. This is a mini podcast and podcaster created make along any craft works, to uplift LGBTQIA+. Contributions to the art of making all kinds of shit, support LGBTQIA+ owned businesses, and celebrate LGBTQIA+ pride and joy. This June, cast on, get that sewing machine grinding, those spinning wheels turning, and those hooks and needles flying. As long as some part of your project, I don't care what, some element comes from an LGBTQIA+ creator, you are eligible to take that creativity and strut it out for the rest of us to celebrate with you. Use the hashtag PridePodMal, M-A-L, all caps, to post on Instagram and or the Pride Pod Mal Ravelry group to vogue, 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 vogue. Like any great ball from the 80s and early 90s, you also have the chance to win fabulous prizes from myself and others. And more on that hashtag Pride Pod Mal, including participating podcasts, details on prizes that I will be offering, and the like, will be coming soon For right now, we'll have a little break and roll on to the next segment. This episode brought to you by Death Wish Coffee. They aren't sponsoring the podcast. They aren't paying me to say this. But without it, I'd be asleep. So, Death Wish Coffee. Literally the reason I am able to make this podcast. This is Open Throttle, getting you up to speed on my current projects. So first up in Open Throttle is the MHK. And I am aware that I have been all over the fucking place with y'all where the MHK level 2 vest is concerned. All over the map, as it were. All over the fucking road. Indecisiveness on patterns, and then starting and stopping and starting. And then the gauge rage. Look, it's been to the fucking moon and back with that one. But some of it has finally settled. Mostly because I was wrong about the gauge being all screwy from last episode. I was like, maybe it's too big. Maybe it's too small. Do I have to make the whole thing over again? I was really afraid I would have to make the whole thing over again. But I don't. Because after blocking the main body of the vest, the gauge is spot on. Perfecto. Mwah. Chef's kiss. Like, I made a gauge swatch for the body of the sweater to, like, double check. I don't know what happened, y'all. I also made a gauge swatch. Gauge swatch. Say that 10 times fast. Gauge swatch. Ugh. Say it 10 times fast into a microphone and try not to drive people insane with mouth noises. I dare you. Distracted. I made a gauge swatch for the ribbed collar as well so that I can more accurately pick up an adequate amount of stitches for the collar without stretching or distorting the fabric of either the body or the collar. All of that is blocking. All of that is actually behind where I'm recording on a daybed, finishing drying so that it is bone dry before I try taking additional measurements to do some ratios. Next up in Open Throttle, we have, that's right, a next up, Operation Sock Drawer. What? Yes! She is back! The Mesmerizing Riddler socks were picked back up to both amuse and irritate Audio Man, and to keep my fidgety hands busy. I think Audio Man just gets distracted every time I pull these socks out because of the outrageous color combination of the yarn. The neon green of Zwerger Garn Opal in neon green is a sharp contrast to Knitpick's Stroll fingering weight in black. Outrageous and so eye-searing you could see it from space. But I think Edward Nygma, aka Batman villain the Riddler, would approve of the color combination. And the way the pattern makes one's head spin. But I'm not a Batman villain, so I try not to do that to too many people all at once. Like I said, I also needed something to keep my fidgety hands busy. I mean, like, I could describe how Mr. Kickass helps with that at home, but he was at work. And this ain't that kind of show. Also, my mother, brother, and sisters listen. And I'm not that evil. Today. Anywho, a while back, I had put the socks down because the heel turn was proving to be rather tricky with an integrated heel, and I couldn't deal with that and make 3 sweaters before holidays. To the back burner, she went. But with the MHK vest blocking, I have had time and attention to devote to figuring that shit out. And Mona Drager, designer of the fantastic mesmerizing pattern, which is how my socks got their name, Mona Drager gets you through it, that heel turn, with a minimum of fuss. She really does. You just have to read carefully and then reread it carefully and then reread it one more time. So I had thought that my integrated heel stitches weren't lined up correctly. I just needed to take the socks off of the long circular needle and do the heels one at a time. And now they're all done. And I'm working my way down the foot at a good clip, I might add. You're going to hear a little bit more about these socks in a later segment. Hint, hint. But it's kind of nice to be able to talk about Operation Sock Drawer. What? With y'all again. And that's not all, because the last project I have to share with y'all in Open Throttle is the Peace, Love, and Knitting shawl by Anna Dalvey that I am making for Mr. Kickass's goddaughter, here now known as Kiddo, until she changes her mind and wants something else. We use code names here, what can I say? She picked this pattern, this shawl out last year at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival and asked, she kind of saw it on a mannequin and went, I want one of those! Aunt Peggy, I need one! A sparkle shawl, please! And when she's with Mr. Kickass and myself, we kind of go, yep, whatever you want, kiddo. It's just so hard to tell her no, and she knows it. However, she was aware of some cost constraints. Also, some considerations for her height were made, and we convinced her to pick out a kit for the half shawl size. The full length would have dragged on the ground. Like a lot. She didn't believe us, so the stall staff helped us try on one of the displays, and it was like 10 inches of material on the ground. So half shawl it was. She picked out the yarn. She picked out the beads. It's beaded. She picked out all of it. She chose a beautiful skein of yarn that I don't have a fucking label for. And I'm going to have to go back through old Instagram posts and everything else to see if I can figure out where this shit came from. Figure out whose yarn this is. The skein she chose is a lovely fade that kind of starts in this like lavender. And it transitions through kind of like indigo into a beautiful seafoam green. I don't think my words are doing it justice, but there are photos on the website, and you can also have those sent to your inbox through Substack. Where was I? Distracted. Oh, right, kiddo. She also chose the beads that she wanted, too. There's two types of beads in this shawl pattern. The body beads are for the main body of the shawl. She chose ones called dark violet lined crystal beads, which are 6-0 sized and have a deep violet center, but are made of clear glass. So you have this pop of color in the middle of the bead surrounded by not color, clear glass, like transparent bead. And the edging gets a different type of bead. And for those, Kiddo picked the lavender-lined Magatama crystal beads that are lavender, as the name suggests, but also have like this beautiful iridescence to them. The Magatama beads are 4 millimeters by about 7 millimeters. They're parallelogram shaped. Yes, I had to double check and look up what that shape is named. And they also have an offset center. Like the hole is not dead center in the bead. It's kind of up on one side so that the bead kind of hangs a little bit. And lastly, the shawl is made on 3.75 millimeter needles. I'm currently using a pair of aluminum circular needles that I don't remember when or where I got. But they're like bright purple and kind of match the theming of Kiddo's shawl. I mean, as it grows, that might change. But for now, I hope she likes that coincidence. And the beads are being kept contained by the use of a small snapware container that I purloined, if you will, from my kitchen cabinets. The seed beads come in hanks of 6 strings, and I have been cutting just 1 string at a time into the sealable container to prevent disaster. And it is all being kept neat and tidy and contained in a project bag that was gifted to me by my bestie for my birthday from a 1000 Stars shop on Etsy. That was a lot. That was a lot. And because that was a lot, I'm going to roll on to the next segment after this break. This episode brought to you by Gage Rage. When you're knitting and you just can't get Gage. Gage! Motorcycles choke out. Yarn makes tangles. Sometimes you have to drop out of gear, restart the engine, and figure out what the hell happened before you get back on the road. Welcome to Stalled. First up will be Operation Sock Drawer. What? It took me a little bit of time to get, you know, back into the rhythm of working 2 yarns at once. And it shows. I believe I made an Instagram post demonstrating the size difference between the heels of the Mesmerizing Riddler socks. I mean, they're both perfectly fine. They both fit. But you can tell which heel I was working on with practice, having had, you know, practice holding both yarns, and which one I wasn't. Like, they are both fine, and they're both well within gauge. I'm not worried about fit, so I will not be correcting the gauge differences, or discrepancy, if you will. It will just be one of those things, and because it is one of those things, it comes out here on the podcast and becomes admitted to the world at large. And that isn't all. I actually had to redo one of those heels because I didn't like the transition from the heel stitches, the integrated heel, to the instep. A little bit too loosey-goosey. More than acceptable. And despite careful counting and planning, when I went to put both socks back on the long circular needle, I had an extra round on the sock I had redone. Not a huge deal, but just weird to think about and harder to map and keep track of where you are in stitch charts like that. All right, it just fucking is. So rather than tinking back or taking the socks and putting them on different needles, I just slipped the sock stitches rather than work them for a round. I mean, the biggest part of that pain in the ass is that the sock I had to skip over was the first one on the needle. So I had to slip a bunch of stitches, knit a bunch more, and then slip yet more. And I wish to specify that slipping the stitches isn't the pain in the ass part. Remembering to slip the stitches is the pain in the ass part. And to make it worse, I finally got around to fixing that in the Palm Sunday services Mr. Kickass rendered aid by covering my looks of extreme concentration with a hymnal. I mean, I doubt that anyone really thought I was that into the hymn, though. Thankfully, our pastor prefers the slight clicking of needles and the sound of yarn passing through fingers from wherever my family is sitting to the noises of fidgeting and restlessness on century and a half old wooden pews that have a tendency to carry. Adding to that, all the fuckery I discovered, adding to all of that fuckery, commas are things, Peggy, commas, adding to all of that fuckery, I discovered a problem when working the first chart of kiddo's shawl. A problem or a blessing? A problem. Row 15 of the piece, love and knitting shawl, is when the first of the seed beads are added to the stitches. Now, many knitters and crafters of all kinds have their methods and advice for stringing beads onto knitting. None of them fucking work if the holes of the beads are too small to allow much of anything to pass through. The pattern calls for, and frankly, my preferred method of adding beads to knitting in general, is to form the stitch and then slip the bead over the completed stitch, snugging up any excess yarn once the bead is situated on both legs of the stitch and the stitch is safely back on the needle. The downside of that method is that you have to take the stitch off the needle completely, which is intimidating and a pain in the butt, and it interrupts your knitting flow, so it's time-consuming. And also, you have to fit two strands of yarn into the hole of the bead, and that can make for a tight fit! The upside is that the bead is fully centered on the stitch and is held on by two strands of yarn instead of one. One strand twice. Look, either way, I don't have any specialty beading tools. No crochet hook small enough to get through the holes of the beads. I tried. And any needle with an eye big enough to pass the yarn through was too big for the bead as well. So the first thing I did was contact my mom to see if she had an appropriate tool or hook or something. Her collection of miscellaneous fiber tools is far more vast than my own. But she didn't. So I have to special order something, and until it arrives, this shawl is stalled. Okay, continuing on to the next segment after this break. This episode brought to you by Sunshine. I felt some this week. You should too. Let's all do our part to raise spirits by safely going outside. Feel good, get your recommended dose of vitamin D, and look at the pretty, pretty yarn. Welcome to Scenic Route, where Audio Man has insisted I put my ramblings through the scenic highways and byways of mostly my garden. This is where I gush about my plants. All right, this one should be nice and short. Promise. The only thing that's really giving inspiration right now in the garden is the Akebono Sakura tree that Mr. Kickass and I planted for our anniversary several years ago at this point. And it has reached the Menkai, or full bloom stage, at the time of recording, and may be described as U-on, or snow-like, from the distance. Seriously, coming up the street, there does look like there has been an unseasonable and very localized snow that has only piled up on that tree. I mean, if you ignore the invasive Bradford pear trees in the neighborhood. And I do, because when they bloom, they smell like death. Anyway, our little Akebono Sakura tree will probably be in the Sakura Fubuki, or falling snow, phase when this episode comes out, when the petals start to drop and kind of blow in the breeze. Yeah. Those different phases of the blooming process of Sakura trees have different names. I really hope my enunciation was spot on. I really do like the culture that surrounds watching Sakura trees bloom. Spring is such a time of hustle and bustle and, you know, everything's waking up and coming back to life, and you just feel this urge to do shit and get things done. And sometimes it's really great to just take a few moments and enjoy the serenity of earth around you. And right now I can do that with my Sakura tree while the rest of the garden is waiting for warmer weather and for me to rehook up the water barrels in preparation for drier months. As that continues to grow and bloom, I will share it with you. But for right now, this brings us to the end of the road. Show notes, along with images, links to all of the places to find and support the show, as well as everything else, can be found on the website twowheelspodcast.com. Audio and emotional support by my brother Larry.
Hi, everybody.
You can find more of his work nowhere because he is an enthusiastic amateur. If you liked the episode, you can support the show, its creators, and get funny bonuses and outtakes by subscribing to our Substack. It's completely free, but contributions are greatly appreciated. If you would like to support the show in a non-monetary way, do the podcasty things. Give us a star rating, leave a review, and tell every kick-ass fiber friend you have. Positive reviews and five-star ratings help new people find the show. And finally, the music welling up is Organ Rock, Classic Hard Rock by Julius H. and is used under a common license. Thank you again for joining me. And remember, I'm revving for ya. We're all in this together. Keep your wheels on the road.
To the bone.